Welcome to the Bullets and Bourbon Podcast, where it's not about the bourbon, but more about who you share it with.
Welcome back to Bullets and Bourbon, everybody. Thank you for tuning in for episode 7, coming at you a day later than we wanted to. That's because last night when we decided we were going to record, we did our little pre-podcast pour, and it turned into pre-podcast pours plural with the entire Bullets and Bourbon crew. And then the next thing you know, it was really late, wasn't it, Dan?
It got late very quick.
Yeah, and we decided it was going to be the best idea to get in front of the microphone in that state of mind. It would have been nothing, so we kicked it to today after doing a whole day of kids sports. And so here we are. So we're going to jump into it, and we'll circle back to the whole what happened about last night. But what are you sipping on, Dan? What's in your cup to start with?
Well, before I start, I just got to let you know, when I came in today, the entire place was surrounded by the cops.
What?
Yeah, because I'm about to fucking kill this podcast.
You're stupid. So dumb.
So Jay's been getting me to try to fill the flavors out a little bit more, taking my time to actually, I enjoy the bourbon in general, but to dive a little bit deeper, he's trying to get me to taste the flavor profiles. And so we're going to do the one sip challenge, like Jay said. Today I'm going with the Montana Straight Bourbon out of the Dry Hills Distillery out of Montana. It's a 90 proof. So let me go ahead and dive right into this one.
All right, give it the one sip. Remember, one word. What do you taste? Rapid fire.
Rapid fire, citrus, a little bit of corn.
That's three words now.
Three words. Well, we're getting a little bit better.
But you're getting better, okay, yep.
Some oak. Not heavy on the oak, but you can taste the oak in there.
Okay.
Very smooth for a 90 proof.
It's craft bourbon, and, you know, I've continued on the craft bourbon kick. I like what they put out in Montana. I think that they're an example of one of those smaller distilleries that puts a ton of friggin' pride into into what they're putting out. So, I mean, is it something you could drink again? You would drink again? Where do you put it?
I mean, after one sip, it's always hard to tell if it's going to be something you're going to drink again. But off the one sip, it's smooth. Let me go for sip number two.
and here we go again, down the rabbit hole, right? What's the finish? Good finish on it? Big hug, small hug? What do you think?
I'd say small hug. Okay. Small Kentucky hug. You don't have that burn with a lot of the bourbons where, you know, after you drink it, you feel it in the chest. I would definitely give this another try after today.
Okay, good stuff.
So what are you sipping on?
So I'm going to revisit the one that I had last night, the one that we were supposed to do, you know, for the podcast.
Oh, that is a good one. Yeah. I enjoyed that one for sure.
So this is J. Henry & Sons Wisconsin Straight Bourbon. Again, craft distillery. I want to say that their distillery is about 20 miles north of Madison, Wisconsin. And I actually got this bottle when I was in Wisconsin for work. And was recommended to me by pretty much everybody that was local I came across. You have a pretty cool little whiskey scene out in Wisconsin, and deservedly so. They deserve a lot of recognition because they put out some good stuff. This one, no exception. Now, what's interesting about this is when I originally went to buy this bottle, I looked them up online because I wanted to kind of know, well, is this a local faddish, you know, brew, or is this good?
Yeah.
And so I tend to kind of... You know, let me get an opinion on the intranet, right? And I came across a review that was just absolutely, it was a horribly written review and quite cruel about the quality of this bourbon. And so one of the things I want to kind of, you know, say up front is we will not talk negatively about whiskey on here because people put their heart and soul into it. So I believe that we need to honor that. If it's not for us, it's not for us, but we're not going to trash it. But what that review did tell me was that don't trust what you read online all the time. And after talking to several other people, I grabbed a bottle of this. I grabbed a bunch of bottles of Driftless Glen, which is a big Wisconsin brand too, and they do amazing stuff. And I cracked it open last night, and I'm very, very happy that I did. This bottle is now a third gone, and it'll be done very soon. I'll have to order some more or find a hookup out in Wisconsin. Or Jay Henry, I mean, I'm always down if you want to send a bottle to me. I'm just saying. Initial thoughts and impressions, the nose was sweet on the nose. Picked up some citrus elements. I picked up those same citrus elements on the first taste. The mouthfeel and palate was very good. Minty. I wanted to say, I think last night I said apricot and pears, right?
I think you did, yeah.
And Craig, who also had a pour, just said citrus. So Craig's palate's developing, you know.
As just like did, mine, yeah.
So what's interesting is today, and I don't know if it's because, you know, of what I ate throughout the day, I'm picking up some mint, some bubble gum, a little bit of cinnamon. So it's different than it was yesterday. It is equally as good, in my opinion. The notes fade away. They're kind of a soft fade. The finish on it is a moderate finish, a moderate Kentucky hug, a little bit better than, I think, some of the other ones for its age. It's a four-year-old bourbon, so it has some time in the barrel, which helps it out, you know, big time. Checks in at 92 proof, so it's, you know, it's right in that lower end proof range, but just a quality, well-built bourbon. It's got nice mouthfeel. It's kind of got a little viscosity, a little oiliness to it, and the finish is good. And so, you know, for me, who I'm searching out these craft distilleries, and I really want to try their stuff because I think they're coming up with some really dope, dope, you know, juice. This one checks in, and it made a good impression. So, to the guy that left the horrible review, I don't know what. Maybe you got a bad bottle, or maybe you know, maybe you shouldn't review bourbon when you're sick, which you state in your article, because this is a good drinker, and it needs to be noticed, and it deserves to be noticed. I mean, it got 93 points at a spirits festival. It's right there on the bottle. So I can't be the only one that recognizes this is a well-put-together craft bourbon.
Oh, it's a gorgeous bottle. And I mean, the color as well. The color is great.
I mean, you're gonna see when you go over that, you know, 2-3 year mark, you're gonna start to see that color darken and draw out. I mean, the one you're drinking, the Dry Hills Distillery, it's a dark, you know, it's a four plus year old bourbon too. So you're gonna get those kind of the extra texture. It's gonna show in the liquid, and I think it reflects very, very well, you know, on the palate. So we were supposed to bring that to you
last night with the entire crew, but you know. You get four military vets together, bourbon starts flowing,
cigars start smoking,
things don't get done like they're supposed to.
Oh, and there was meat in the smoker too.
Oh yeah, what was that?
So that was called. So as much as I know you like chicken cock whiskey, I decided to make splatch cock chicken in the smoker. And I don't know. I mean, I may be biased because I made it, but it was pretty dope.
Oh, it was delicious.
Homemade mac and cheese.
Yeah.
We're almost to brisket time. Brisket time's next week when we're going to have one of our good buddies coming through.
Yeah.
And his wife. And we'll probably brisket it up, you know, and talk a bit about it because brisket is just, that's the heaven food.
Oh, yeah. It's a perfect time. Great weather.
Yep. Cigars, whiskey, meat. I mean, as much as, you know, we do this, you know, maybe we should start going with fish. But, you know, I love high blood pressure and gout. So last night it just kind of, it took on a life of its own. Maybe we needed to just have a fellowship night and kick back and relax.
I would have paid to have the microphones out on the deck last night because there were some good conversations. I don't think I laughed that hard in a long time.
No, that's a good point.
You know, me and Craig, we were leaving at the end of the night laughing. You know, we're 40 plus years old and we still act like we're 12, 13 year old kids.
And how do you act like 12 or 13 year old kids, Daniel?
Well,
talk to us.
Well, Jay was inside cleaning up, left his phone unlocked, and.
And what?
When he opened his phone back up, there was quite a good few pictures on there. I'm sure he was pleasant to see.
Yeah. Use your imagination. You don't listen. We don't grow up. We just get older and stupider. And I wouldn't trade it for $1 million. I mean, you're right though. That conversation that we had last night, I think one of the things that kind of started it was Jennifer went inside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, the nostalgia came back,
yeah.
You know, because I love your deck because on the deck, you got to view the living room. You can see what they're watching on TV. And it's just so ironic that, you know, two of the last six episodes, we mentioned Michael J. Fox. You know, and I know your wife's been trying to get the younger ones into, like, some of the classic movies from the 80s and 90s. I know they watched Little Giants, Sandlot. Mm-hmm. Last night, she threw it on Back to the Future.
Oh, boy. Yep. That was a blast.
And I'll tell you what, you know, when I come over and I see her throwing those old movies on, and it's so sad to say they're old movies because they're 20, 30 years old yeah. now. And it just brings you back to your childhood.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you didn't have to worry about bills. You were just outside playing with your friends all summer long, yep. driving movie theaters, going to Blockbusters with your mom and dad, picking out a movie for the weekend. You know, and then you had, you know, TGIF Fridays,
mm-hmm.
you know, on TV watching, you know,
yep.
clean, cut, family-oriented comedies.
Yep.
And with that said, you know, there's been a lot of debate online lately, and I'm going to throw it to you on this one. You know, everybody had their crush growing up. I mean, everybody. You were either Team Topanga from Boy Meets World or Kelly Kapako from Saved by the Bell.
Saved by the Bell. Just because that was a little bit more in my generation, my childhood realm than Boy Meets World. I watched Boy Meets World, but I couldn't tell you anything, you know, much about it versus, you know, Screech and Zach and all those dudes from whatchamacallit.
Saved by the Bell.
I mean, that was early 90s?
Early 90s.
Which, I mean, so early 90s were our coming of age decade, right?
Oh, yeah.
But the 80s, we were, you know, 70s and 80s were our, you know, we got to
experience. I wasn't born in the 70s, pal.
I don't want to hear it, to be honest with you. You were close enough.
I'm an 80s baby.
Okay, well, I'm a late 70s and early 80s. You know what?
That's one long birth that your mom had. 3-year birth. I mean, I know you're a big guy, but damn, 3 years to push you out. I guess I can see that.
It takes a while to birth perfection.
Okay.
But I'm on scene, so it's all right. What a jerk move. All right. So yeah. So, but the 90s, they were kind of our. I mean, we were young, growing into like that. You know, the teenage years.
Yeah, right? but the 90s. You know. You got kids. You got some older ones as well.
Yeah.
And I look at them, and you look back at the 90s and how influential not only TV, but music. I mean, it was a whole culture.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, you wanted to go out, you know, Vanilla Ice. You wanted to go buy a starter jacket, starter hat. You wanted that 5.0, you know? I mean, the music.
The No Fear shirts.
The No Fear. The Boss Jeans. South Pole.
Jordache.
Jordache. I mean. The 501s and the Silver Tabs.
Well,
you know?
what about the girls in the 90s with the big wavy hair, the big bang hair?
But it wasn't as bad as the 80s.
No. The 80s were over the top.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the tight roll jeans. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I could just picture your shit tight rolled.
No. I had Boss.
You had the Boss?
I had Boss and Silver Tab.
So favorite year of the 90s for you? Pick a year. The year that was the most influential culturally for the 90s for you. And what was it?
That's so hard to pick. You're so young. I graduated in 99. But I would have to say 96 because, you know, 96... I think I was 15, turning 16 maybe. You got Tupac. You got Biggie.
Yeah.
Nas. You got all the hip-hop that's just... Still to this day, music is untouched. You got... Yeah.
Did Forrest Gump come out in 96 too?
I think Forrest Gump. The movies...
95 or 96.
And like we were talking last night, Braveheart. Like yeah. some of the like classic movies.
Bad Boys.
Mm-hmm. But overall, we were talking about, like, just the R&B.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it, you know, the 90s and, you know, a little bit after the 90s when you're in your 20s, 21, 22, early 20s. You know, you go to a club, you know, get some drinks and you get out on the dance floor, whatever. And we grew up with that. But now there's a podcast I was listening to over in the UK. They were talking about how there's no more like actual physical clubs. Everything's pubs and bars now.
Yeah.
And the club scene has died down drastically. And I mean, you see the same thing here in the States everywhere you go. Like, there's none of that big dance floor. You know, that's how you used to meet a girl back in the day, out on the dance floor, you know, grinding up on them, you know. Whatever.
That's hard for me to understand because, I mean, I grew up in a college town. Grew up in Gainesville, Florida, University of Florida. And to me, college towns, you had that bar strip, right? Strip of bars and clubs. And, I mean, it started at 8.
Oh, yeah.
At night. I mean, the line started to form. I can't imagine now. But I will say this. You know, there's the last couple of times I've gone back to Florida, I've gone to Gainesville, and we've gotten in the evening time. And there hasn't been that. There's a ton of bars, obviously.
Yeah.
But the, you know, we had the Florida Theater. It was huge. That, you know, I remember that's where bands used to come in and play. And you had Congo Craigs. You had, you had all kinds of just cool clubs.
And I'm sure you had one of the chain clubs down there, Banana Joe's. I don't know if you remember them.
We had well.
Because there's Banana Joe's.
Yeah.
There's Banana Joe's here in Pittsburgh. And then when I was stationed down in Louisiana, there's a Banana Joe's in Louisiana.
So we had. We did have some chains that moved in. Like, we had Fat Tuesdays, which was huge, you know, in the 90s. You know, coming out of New Orleans, that's kind of where they exported that brand out of. And it was cool. It didn't last long. It was weird. I guess maybe because it's a college town, so it's much more localized. But you're right. I think the club scene kind of died.
Yeah. Well I feel bad, you know, because me and your wife were both from Pittsburgh, and we've talked about it before out on the deck many a times, going to, you know, the 18 and under clubs when we were teenagers, going to Club Zoo. I forget the other club that was down in Oakland, down in Pittsburgh. But, you know, we used to go out. It was a culture, and you were into it back then. And then when you got to be 21, 22...
Shifted to the bars.
You still shifted to the of age nightclubs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you go downtown to Pittsburgh now, you go down to the Strip, you go down to the South Side, I think there may be maybe one or two actual nightclubs instead of just bars.
Even where the college kids go?
Even where the college kids. I mean, all the college kids now, it's Shadyside, Lawrenceville, South Side down in Pittsburgh, and it's nothing but bar district.
So I wonder if it's maybe a city-type thing that, you know, maybe you go to Miami, you still have clubs out the ass. I'm sure New York City, you know, the big places like that have them. But if it didn't just die in certain areas or certain economies drove it or what, kind of like the mall. I mean, back, remember in the 90s, malls were...
Oh, yeah.
They were the heat.
Oh, even when you were 12, 13, you were begging your mom, hey, you know, drop me and my friends off at the mall for the night.
Yeah.
And then, and then picking up the pay phone call, collect... Hey, Mom, we're ready to come home. Come pick us up.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was such a crazy decade. I mean, probably for me, because that decade marked when I went into the military halfway, you know, about 94, 95.
You're that much older than me.
Not that much. That much older is a huge number statement. I'm slightly older.
Okay. Slightly older.
Yeah. So... But, I mean, it was still my decade because I was still young and, you know, and a couple of years in training and stuff like that. And, you know, I remember Bad Boys and Braveheart and Forrest Gump.
Oh, okay. With that said, you know, when I was younger, when I was in college, I should say, my brother wanted to join the Marines. Mm-hmm. I talked him out of joining the military. I was like, don't throw away your life. Don't do it, dude.
Irony, huh?
Irony. And then a year later, I joined.
Yeah.
But I think back, one of the decisions, you know, when I was younger, we all had, every guy loves their military movies.
Mm.
Was there a movie that really made you decide, you know what, this movie has kind of shifted me towards that military mindset, wanting to do something more than just myself joining the military?
Yeah.
What movie?
Two.
Okay.
Two, and so I think for anybody over the age of 40, this is a no-brainer. There were two defining military movies in that generation, and one of them was, correct me if I'm wrong, because I could be, in a late 80s movie, Platoon, right?
Yeah, late 80s.
The other movie, and it's a toss-up, but Full Metal Jacket.
Okay, so you like that Vietnam pipe. Well, then again, your dad was Vietnam.
Yeah, so my dad was a Vietnam vet, and I think I look back at it, and I'm like, I never really understood what Vietnam was because, I mean, let's face it, the Vietnam vets got treated like crap, and this country owes him a huge apology. I could go all day on that, but I'm going to leave it right there. We owe him an apology. He didn't talk about what he experienced. So I had no understanding. The only way I got anything about that was to watch movies like Platoon or Full Metal Jacket or Apocalypse Now.
No. Okay.
You know, so...
And it's crazy. Your dad has said that, well, not so much about the movies, about him not talking about those experiences...
Till much later in life.
And like, I love when he comes to Pittsburgh because we sit out on the deck, and it's nice just chopping it up with an old vet. And I think he really appreciates that, too.
Yeah, I remember pretty vividly. He did not talk about Vietnam at all when I was growing up. He did 2.5 tours in Vietnam, and I didn't know what that meant. It wasn't until I think I did my first real combat tour in Afghanistan and came back. It was almost like he looked at me and he could sense something was different, something had changed. And then he started opening up. For Jennifer, though, he opened up right away to Jennifer. I think it's the interrogator in her.
It's
just like, but you know, you start to learn a lot, right? I had wished growing up in the 90s that I had understood that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to take it to your own kids. Mm-hmm. You know, the one Christmas I was there, Christmas Eve, your daughter was in town, and, you know, the drinks were flowing. And she was excited because she said she's never heard you talk about any of your military experience. So she kept feeding us drinks because we were just sitting there telling stories about different things, different places we've been, about Iraq, Afghanistan, and everywhere else. And she was loving it. And she was like, you know, this is a side of my dad I have not seen.
Yeah. I mean, maybe it's the curse, right, that we hand down. I mean, I'm much more open to talking about it as you are around other vets.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
To even contemplate that we're talking about this on a podcast that we don't know the people that might listen is a little weird. But at the same time, I think I've reached that age where I recognize if we don't talk about it, then we by talking about it, that we're going to open up doors for people to speak and may save a life.
Yeah.
I mean, hands down, that's my attitude shifted on it to the point where I don't care. It's not about me. It's about what. You know, what we can do to kind of help people verbalize some of the things, the bad stuff, or maybe make them, remember some of the funny stuff.
Some of the good times.
Yeah,
I mean, the good times were the best.
Yeah, there were bad days, and there were bad deployments, and there were bad experiences, and we saw bad stuff. But, man, I wouldn't trade any of it for the blast that we had over that, I mean, from the time I came in.
Oh, yeah.
All the way till the time I retired, that period of time was one monster hell of a ride.
Oh, yeah. That's everybody I meet, you know, after I have one too many, I start telling stories about just the dumb stuff. Not so much the other stuff, but like the dumb, crazy, reckless things we did in the military. They're like, oh, that's insane.
Yeah.
You know, 100%. And I have to laugh because when we were talking, you know, pre-podcast with a pre-podcast pour, we weren't planning on this wasn't even in the conversation.
No,
because it's more about 90s and back to the future. Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to say, you know, bringing up the movies, what convinced you to kind of like play a little bit of part of you going to the military is we were talking about Top Gun last night.
Oh, yeah.
Iron Eagle. And I was like, one of my all time favorite movies from the 80s, 90s is Heartbreak Ridge with Clint Eastwood. I was like, that was one of those movies. That was like, okay, if I got to join the military, that's the experience I want.
Yeah.
And, you know, wasn't so much so, but it was still a great experience. But I have to laugh because, you know, once I found out Ty was retired and he's a gunny, you know, all I could think of is Gunny Highway, you know. So I still want to call him every time, Gunny Highway.
Yeah, I mean, so wait, was Top Gun a 90s movie? It wasn't. It was a... Very,
I'm gonna say
of the 80s, right?
Late 80s, probably.
Yeah. It still fits in that kind of time frame. If you fast forward the movies in the 90s, I don't know. Did we see a lot of war movies in the 90s? I can't remember.
Not to like 2000s when Black Hawk Down came out and they started doing some of those.
Saving Private Ryan.
That's 90s. And then you had Band of Brothers, your favorite.
That's tops.
You know, so that came out. But. you know, I just think back to the 90s.
They're wild. Best music. Real R&B. Rap.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear anybody tell me that rap is good compared to what we had in the 90s with Biggie, Snoop, Dre, Pac, Nas.
Well, so bad. There's a, I don't want to say newer artist because he's been on since, I'll say mid 2000s, probably like 2005, 2006. Self-titled is the artist. But he put out a track called Miss Those Days. Mm. And if you're a 90s kid, 90s person, and you haven't heard self-titled Miss Those Days, I'm telling you, search it on YouTube, Spotify, whatever. Miss Those Days, honestly, listening to that track will take you back to your childhood. You know, because he's talking about, you know, when the Big Macs didn't have the trans fat, when Ben Franklin's face was small.
Yeah.
You know, and he really paints a picture of, like, what the 90s were.
Like,
and one of the things he says, you know, growing up in the 90s is like growing up in the jazz age when jazz was coming alive. Mm-hmm. The 90s was that hip-hop age where if you were alive in the 90s with hip-hop, you watched it transform and got to experience some of the greatest music to date.
Eminem.
I mean, Eminem's late 90s, 2000s.
Late 90s, but I'm not... It's an evolution, though. DMX.
I'm not going to get into the Eminem argument. No. Great artist, but when I think hip-hop, though...
Yeah.
I mean, hip-hop, R&B, Boyz II Men.
Okay, Jodeci.
Jodeci. Okay. Bobby Brown. You know...
Bobby Brown.
Aaliyah.
Belle DeVoe.
Yep. Sierra. Maya. MC Light.
Who was Babyface?
Babyface. And I have to throw it out there. A lot of people try to stay away. R. Kelly. R. Kelly. Keith Sweat, man. Mm. Keith Sweat. You know, everybody was bumping that Twisted back in the day.
That is true.
I mean, the music, the experiences are unmatched, I think, in the 90s. Compared to any other decade.
Who were the kids that wore their shit backwards?
Criss Cross.
Criss Cross will make you.
Jump.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you talk about a decade that transformed, right? We started that decade with VCRs.
Yep.
Right? And within...
Not even 10 years. So we went from the cassette to CDs.
Yeah.
That was huge.
That was a huge one. So I remember having a cassette... And then buying the adapter for your Sony Walkman.
You put it in the car with the tape.
Like crazy.
Oh yeah, and then it had the anti-skip mode. Yeah, that anti-skip mode didn't do shit.
So I was going through some boxes and I found my CD collection.
Oh
shit!
And
inside it was my Sony Walkman.
Okay.
Like no joke. And Oliver's like, "What the hell is that?" Like, and then he just looked at me. He's like, "God, you really are old." I just wanted to jump. Like, listen. All of that happened so quick.
No, I mean, the internet, like,
yeah.
You know, AOL.
AOL.
The Dell up, and then you'd be on AOL. And then all of a sudden, you'd be in the middle of something, and your mom picks up the phone, disconnects you, you're like, son of a bitch, what'd you say?
Yeah.
Nothing, Mom, nothing.
Yeah, I mean, everything happened so quick. And then, just as soon as it happened, so for me, it's hard to remember what happened at the end because I was in Turkey. I got stationed in Turkey in 98.
Okay.
Which is why I remember Eminem because we were all together out at work on post and Eminem's first song, The Real Slim Shady, came out. And I remember we all looked around at each other. And the cool thing, for those of you who don't understand anything about the military, the cool thing about the military is you are literally with a bunch of people from just every background, different races, different religions, cultures, right? But you have a commonality, and you become friends with who you are with, and you learn to accept other people.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most beautiful social experiment.
It is. Like, I didn't grow up around country music at all, but that was my first exposure to country, because you get stuck with somebody on post for 12 hours at a time. You guys got to share the radio or whatever, so, you know.
There it goes.
Yep. You're going to pick something up.
We heard The Real Slim Shady come on, And we all looked around like, what is this? Is this? We thought it was a joke.
Yeah. So here's my thing. With the Real Slim Shady, right? And I want you to think about this. And I don't think there's have been any conversations about this at all. So he's a lyrical genius. You know, he has bars. We'll give him that. Give him that. Hands down, great rapper. Great rapper.
Creative.
Very, very creative. Lyricist, whatever you want to say. But you remember Snoop Dogg, What's My Name? Mm-hmm. Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Yeah.
You know, do you think he's seen how Snoop blew up with that single, with Snoop Doggy Dogg, decided to do My Name Is?
Oh, without a doubt.
You know what I mean? Just from a marketing standpoint. Because it's like Mike Jones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Screaming his name every 2 seconds. Mike Jones.
Yeah. Well, listen, I mean, so you've seen Oliver do his... So, for everybody, my kids are heavy, heavy into 90s hip-hop. Country, but 90s hip-hop is stupid. If I put on Dre Day or anything Snoop or Eminem, they know it by heart. And it's almost like... I just beam with pride, right? Because they know the lyrics. So I challenged Oliver. I was like, "Can you do Godzilla yet?" Godzilla. He's like, "That's." He goes, "That's fast." And he said, "That's." He's Oliver Spark. He's brilliant. So that's not even as fast as Eminem can rap.
He can
actually rap faster than that.
So with that said, with fast rap, you know, I'm going to take it back to the 90s. Bone Thugs and Harmony. Have you had him try to say, hey, what are they saying?
He can do it. Yeah, well, and he can rap part of it. Problem is that God love him too, because he won't use the swear words. So he knows that that's off limits. So
yeah.
But he can rap most of the raps. Yeah. He just commits it to memory. But it's just, I'm listening to him and he's like, he's listening to what I listen to. And it's just cool because to him, that's real rap too. I was like, you like Drake? He's like, nah, I like Drake. I was like, well, what about all these, you know, mumble rapping, you know, clowns? And he's like, that's not real rap.
Yeah.
He said, real rap is 90s rap, little Run DMC, Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys, okay.
So, you know, the classics. I don't really call them classics, but they were the ones that pioneered it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they kind of set the stage for that entire generation. But
see, I can't wait till they get a little bit older so I can show them some like real old school gangster rap, like some Selly Cell.
Oh man.
You know what I mean? Some of the old school Cali, like just straight bangers.
Yeah, the outlaw, what were they called? Outlaw rap. Remember Two Live Crew.
I mean, Too Short. They're too young for Too Short.
Yeah, yeah. So they're of age, man. Don't mess with too much, Uncle Dan. Come on now.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, like, I ended the decade. I was overseas, and when I finally came back, like, it had changed. Malls were starting to close.
Oh, yeah.
Blockbusters were shutting down.
Yeah.
And to me, I didn't know how to fathom it.
Well,
I still remember that was the coolest part about Friday night.
Right. And that's the thing that kills me, because, like, you know, once you hit that 15, 16-year mark, that was the thing. Like, you know, you had your little girlfriend, whatever. You know, you'd have mom, dad, whatever, drive you to Blockbuster. You guys walk around and whispering and, like, picking out a movie to watch for the night. You know, that killed, like, a good bit of the Friday night, but that was something to do. You weren't out, you know, being all crazy. But, like, I look now, I'm like, what's there to do for a 15, 16, 17-year-old kid?
Yeah, you know, because we give them a lot of shit, right? I mean, you know, Avery and Alexis both went through it. They're in their 20s now. And, you know, have Oliver will be hitting that age. But I think we kind of chastise the 15 or the 13, 14, 15 for sitting on their phones or sitting in front of their
iPad or electronics. Yeah.
But, you know, what else are they doing? What else can they do? I mean, we had movie theaters that were affordable.
Yes.
That were affordable. We had a mall that we could walk around. I mean, I think a lot of parents could drop their kids off at the mall. And maybe it was misplaced, you know, belief that they were safe there, but they were. They were around. You
didn't have no issues back then at the mall.
Now I wouldn't let my kid go to the mall alone. Are you kidding me? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen, and I damn sure don't trust mall security.
No.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you If they're in athletics and stuff like that, then they have maybe some outlets, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. Like, and I remember, like, you know, once you turn 16, 17, and you had some of those older friends that had a car.
Oh, you were gone.
You were gone. You were driving them around. You were hitting the mall, you know, like the song, Parking Lot Pimpin'.
Parking Lot.
You know, you was driving around with the system, you know, showing off, going up to, like, you know, Pittsburgh got Mount Washington. We'd all go up to Mount Washington. Hang out, you know, try to meet people and things like that. But
Mount Wa- I gotta. So, you know, they say that saying, "You got."
Yeah,
I ain't been saying that I'm gonna get got, but I'm gonna get got before I got got. That.
So did you get got? That's what I got for that.
So to clean that up, when I was a young dude, I would sneak out of my house, right?
Yeah,
that's what we did.
I never did that, Ma. Never. Yeah,
I had to get stealthy though, because you know, Dad had that Vietnam vet PTSD. You never knew who was going to jump up and, you know, go Hiroshima on your ass. And I'd roll the car out the driveway, jump in the car. My older brother and I would jump in and we'd roll. And we had the old tunes on, a little bit of Pac, a little bit of Biggie, maybe a little Snoop. We were straight pimping. I don't care what you say. It's what we were doing. You're
going to
make fun of me?
Right. No, not going to make fun of you. Because it just took me back. You know, my senior year in high school, you know, I had some older friends that, you know, one of the guys I hung out with, his brother, he took his birth certificate and social security card and went to the DMV and got a driver's license made with all of his brother's information with his picture.
That's brilliant.
On the license.
That's so damn brilliant.
All right. I mean, complete genius.
Yeah.
So he was able to buy booze for us, but he would also, you know, I believe it was Banana Joe's that I was speaking about earlier. So he would go into Banana Joe's, and me and another guy, we'd wait to the back of the side area where there's that emergency door. He would go into Banana Joe's, hit that emergency door. Me and my buddy would sneak in, you know, so we're 18 years old, you know, 21 and over club, you know, enjoying like the best we could.
So getting got for me now was the discovery that Avery, my eldest, and Avery's off to college, he's 21, you know, he's a grown ass man. We're downtown Pittsburgh and doing something. And I'm like, man, I wonder where this or this is. And he's like, oh, it's over here off of this street. And I'm like, how do you know this shit? He's like, Dad, I got some bad news for you. So what? He's like, well, I used to sneak out all the time and come down here and hang out with my buddies. And I'm like, you son of a bitch.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's karma. It's karma. Yeah. It's coming.
And he looked at me and he was like, I was paying attention when my mom found out about all of us sneaking out. He's like, I knew then. You were going to get got. And I got got. So it's full circle. I mean, 100% full circle. I remember it was just a cool time. Like, we sneak out. I remember, you remember Menace to Society, the movie?
Oh, yeah. Great movie.
So, like, a scene out of Menace to Society, we blew through a stop sign in a bad section of town in Gainesville, kind of where the ghetto is, and we T-boned a car. And everybody jumped out that car and ran like it was a straight drive-by shooting and left me and my brother sitting in the car.
Oh, shit.
Police just, they got us. We got. I just, the flood of memories.
How bad did your dad tan that ass?
It hurt.
Yeah.
I got.
You didn't sit for a week.
So, that's back in the days when parents didn't care. They hit you. They let you know what's up, and rightfully so. But, yeah, man, the 90s were a hell of a time.
No.
I mean, a coming of age for us, right? And then, you know, for both of us, that was when we left for the military, right? And
that's I didn't leave till after. I didn't leave until right before 9/11.
Yeah.
I was at my first duty station when 9/11 hit. So, and I joined because I got kicked out of school. Didn't have no options. My dad was like, you better figure it out.
Before you get got.
And him and my mom, still to this day, they're like, that is the biggest curveball we never seen coming, was you joining the military after the year before you talked your brother out of it. I was like, well, I ain't trying to be doing yard work all summer and housework, so I knew I had to do something.
Still was the best, you know, the 90s were that defining. To where I look back and I can even remember when I came in, it was just so full of cool crap. And then I don't know. Maybe it was 9/11 happened. The world changed.
No.
It's never really been the same. Well, it'll never be the same for those of us that lived through that period of time for our age. But, I mean, they'll never... I don't know if you're ever going to have another decade that's as badass.
That's the 90s. Oh, definitely. I don't think so.
And I'm sure that there are some people that grew up in the 80s that they're like, man, we're going to fight you. We're going to argue. Listen, and you may have a valid argument.
So the only thing I'll give the 80s, they had the good classic rock.
They had good classic rock, but those fools could not dance.
Could not dance and could not dress.
No.
Could not dress.
Although we weren't much farther ahead of
them. Yeah, with the cross colors, the
finger stripes.
And the parachute pants.
Parachute pants, yeah. I mean, we have to own MC Hammer.
Yeah.
Got to own MC Hammer.
I heard some stories about MC Hammer. You know, I think it was Redman and Method Man was talking about MC Hammer, and like apparently MC Hammer was a gangster.
Wasn't he also in the military too? Wasn't he a lieutenant colonel or something in the Air Force or something like that?
I have no idea.
Somebody needs to Google check that, but I remember hearing that someplace and going, God, get the fuck out of here, really? I can see it.
who knows?
Yeah. Sinbad.
Sinbad,
yeah. Chuck Norris, too. I'm just saying. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of Ice-T.
Ice-T,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Ice-Cube.
No, Ice-Cube wasn't in the military.
No, I'm just saying that generation.
Oh, okay, like Ice-T, Ice-Cube, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, man, that was great times, man. Yeah. And, I mean, so last night, that really kind of brought it all back. We were sitting out there, we were having a good time. Completely neglected what we planned on doing, but... I mean, for that, sometimes you just gotta let the pores flow and the fellowship happen and look over and see the Back to the Future. I mean, we were talking about kind of, you know, what decade should we have been born in and stuff like that. Like, what fit our personalities? And
it's definitely good conversations, and it's one of those ones, the jokes definitely did not stop flowing all night. Some of them we would have definitely had to edit out, but it was a good night.
Yeah, so I guess eventually one of these days what we need to do is put the boom mics outside and just let it happen organically. Maybe even take it, like, you know, go live and just do it. If it happens, it happens. What's the worst they can do to us? We're a bunch of clowns. We know we're a bunch of clowns. We don't care. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to throw shade when you're expecting shade, so... But for everybody that tuned in for this episode, guys, we celebrate you and thank you for giving us the 40 minutes or 43 or 48, 50 minutes of your life, whether you're driving around, commuting in or whatnot. And look forward to your questions and comments and stuff that you want to hear us just ramble on about or whiskey that you'd like to hear us talk about. Matter of fact, the midweek episode will come up, and that is the heavy whiskey one, and that is the one that I want to offer the opportunity. If you have a particular whiskey you're curious about or interested in, drop a comment, shoot us a message, hey, ask us to do a workup, or have we heard anything about it, or what are our thoughts, and we're going to give it to you honest, and if I don't have it, which I'm pretty sure I'm going to have it.
Yeah.
I mean, if not, it gives me a good excuse to go buy it.
Yeah. And the one thing I'm definitely going to do with this podcast in the description, I'm definitely, if you really want that nostalgia, that self-titled song, Miss Those Days, I'm going to find it in YouTube. I'm going to post that link. Give it a listen, and it's going to take you back to just one of the greatest decades of all time.
So... Once again, in a wrap-up, thanks, guys, for tuning in. Here's to all of the kids that grew up or came to age in the 90s. This episode was for you as much as it was for anybody else. And let's celebrate the good times. And as always, till next time, stay thirsty, my friends. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast of Bullets and Bourbon. Remember to like, comment, and subscribe so you never miss an episode.